Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in the day to begin with some inspiration to talk a little bit about trends and current events, and especially to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 14th, 2010. And you're listening to show number 92. Thank you for joining me. The inspiration comes from Twitter today. It says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." This is a quote from Aristotle, and it was retweeted by Gang Chisholm, originally posted by Billy Cox. Inspiration number two. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. That's a quote from Lou Holtz and retweeted by Fire, how do we spell this? F-I-R-O-J-B-B. So people, when they're writing their Twitter handles, use strange letters, but, you know, it's really great when they put their real name. Then we can get to know who they are, the way that Billy Cox did, and the way that the next one, Kay, retweeted something from Wisdom LaCarte. And Wisdom LaCarte says, "Achieving life is not the equivalent of a death." And that is a quote, Ayn Rand. I want to thank everyone who has posted their comments and condolences of the passing of David Workington from Kent Homeopathics. It was very sad news. And I want to continue to, by giving you some hints about how to improv, because we have got so much activity on Homeopathy World Community lately. Everyone is posting their cured cases, asking for help to solve difficult cases. They're telling us how they have a moral to a story, how they have learned from their patients, how to listen to their patients better. There's a great deal of conversation going on about using single remedies or combination remedies and the thinking behind that. I'm very grateful to Alex Heffron for posting a brand new blog about Twitter, and he's encouraging more people to get on there and use Twitter to its highest potential. And I'm seeing a lot of people write blogs that say miracles of homeopathy. And I know that we all believe it. We all know it. We all feel it. We all experience these miracles of homeopathy. But if you want for people to actually read what you have written and to stand out from the crowd, to realize that people are not going to be able to find your article if this is a miracle or it's a small miracle or a big miracle or the miracle that happened on 34, I don't know. If you write in your title something that tells the person what they're reading about, it really pulls them into the story. So narrow it down. You can say this is not just a miraculous cure, but tell them fungal infection, malaria case in twins, that'll solved in sensitive young girl, herpes on lips, male impotency remedies. We have so many topics that we can talk about, so many things that can be defining to what the article is about that people will want to read, that this is your opportunity to use keywords and to get your message out to the community and to the broader community by clicking on your share buttons to Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, wherever you are on the internet. Also, I want to tell everyone out there how much HWC appreciates all the time and energy that you put into writing and responding, commenting. And if we had a rating these articles, it would be phenomenal. And the way that we have on HWC is something new that we didn't have before. We used to have something called featured members, and that aspect of HWC is no longer there. Instead, we have something on the tab at the top that says leaderboards, and leaderboards will, the Ning Network itself has created top hits. So wherever there's a lot of activity, we have been contributing considerable amount of information or people are reading the blog. So today when I click on leaderboards, I find that Dr. Donnie's article on impotency and homeopathy is rated pretty high because people must admit. And also Dr. Mohammed Rafiq's article on learn from the patients getting a lot of attention. We also have an ideal cure and an incurable disease of, and here Dr. Farouk has put in fibroadenoma. So he's being specific, and this really helps us to know what we're reading about. And of course, Madhu Azad's article on single remedies versus combination is getting a lot of attention. In addition to just the particular people's blogs, there are top members, top photos, top videos, and top blog posts. Okay, I just wanted to let you in on that. It's not a secret. It's there for everybody to learn and read about. And I, again, want to tell you how much we appreciate everyone's energy to make it really valuable. Your time is valuable. Post something that you think is worthy of other people reading. And don't just post for posting's sake. Do it because you really have to get out there. And now, I did have a little bit of inspiration, but I think I'm going to save it for tomorrow because I want to continue with our reading. Hahnemann has been moving into a new area, a new kind of chapter or section in the Organon of Medicine. He's talking about the miasms, the three top miasms, psoriasis, psychosis, and syphilis, predispositions in the human to have particular weaknesses or areas in their body that they're susceptible to illness or derangement or something of that nature. And in aphorism number 73, which we have been reading lately, it says, as regards acute diseases, they are either of such a kind as attack human beings individually, the exciting cause being injurious influences to which they were exposed, such as excess in food, an insufficient supply of it, which he might mean what we might consider supplements today, or the nutritious value in foods that we're eating, such as vitamin C, you're going to end up with scurvy, severe physical impressions, chills, overheating, dissipation, strains. Everybody's experienced these kinds of things when you go out running, but you have not prepared for that run, and you haven't stretched enough to be ready for it, and then you're going to get an after effect. These kinds of things, and then physical irritations, mental emotions. So emotions really impact how we, our body reacts. Now, you might not even know what's happening, but it is happening. And these are kind of exciting causes of and such acute febrile affections. And I'm hearing that there's more and more cases of malaria. And so we can take a look at that on the blogs. In reality, Hahnemann says, they are generally only a transient explosion of latent SORA, which spontaneously returns to its dormant state if the acute diseases were not of too violent a character and were soon quelled. So here, the acute diseases we know is something that the vital force can handle. It's something that comes on pretty rapidly. It's something that is strong and like for like. The body responds in a very strong way, and he's saying if it is not too violent, so I mean if you respond so violently to something that you've expended all your energy and you're not really going to return to the state of normalcy. So that is a condition where the acute disease is not handled in a healing manner, but you might actually die from something that is imposing itself so strongly against you. And he says, were it soon quelled. Okay, then we were starting to read more about miasm, and we talked yesterday about definitions. We talked a bit about The Principles and Art of Cure by Homeopathy, written by Herbert Roberts, MD. We were about SORA as denoting something having to do with the skin, scabies, sores. Hahnemann termed it the itch, dyscrasia, defined as the parent of all chronic disease, skin diseases, neoplasms, and such. And he gave some other kinds of definitions. And I want to just check on our live chat. If anybody is commenting, I will announce what you say over the air. Also, he's writing that the interpretation of the word SORA comes from the Hebrew word sorat, T-S-O-R-A-T, which conveys clearly the thought Hahnemann had in mind. He defined it as a groove or a fault, a pollution or a stigma, and often it is applied to leprous manifestations and to great plagues. And its meaning in the original Hebrew word that we must regard as the basis for the term covering this constitutional effect. And I did have a long conversation with the rabbi last night just to find out, because in my knowledge and learning about Hebrew and about the where the word Sarah is in the five books of Moses, it is not the same as is being written by Herbert Roberts, because he is saying skin disease. Whereas if I read you otherwise in another commentary, you would understand that Zorat from the Hebrew is not really dealing with health. It is dealing specifically with soul and spirit. It is dealing specifically with the priest who is able to decipher what is going on with the soul level of an individual. But let me go ahead and read some more about what we were reading Herbert Roberts and continue on. He says, Hahnemann became convinced that these recurring symptoms of skin disease owed their existence to this chronic miasm, which he called SORA, and that of itself, this condition could never be cured. So he's saying that the individual needs some assistance in curing something that is this deep. While the acute manifestations may subside and be quiescent for a considerable period, the chronic state that causes the acute eruption of symptoms never dies until it is met with the similar remedy. Hahnemann found that this form of disease was first made manifest on the skin as a skin infection or eruption. This was its natural place. But here the natural manifestation is of suppression by many forms of treatment, such as lotions, ointments, mineral baths, surgical operations with the removal of organs, and anything that tends to obliterate the manifestations on the surface by seemingly ignoring the external symptoms. It is on the surface that it naturally thrives, and here it will do the least harm. By suppression, this constitutional state becomes more manifest in a stressing symptoms. So long as the skin manifestation is quiescent and may affect any part of the body. So here, Roberts is telling us that we're not supposed to cover it up. We're not supposed to suppress it in any manner or form because it will only be more harmful to the individual. He continues, Hahnemann found, too, that many chronic ailments, which are enumerated in pathological works under distinct names, originate, with few exceptions, in this widely ramified psora, that's P-S-O-R-A. All skin manifestations and conditions, almost all adventitious formations, such as swelling of the glands, sarcomatous and carcinomatous tumors, deformed bony structures, hemorrhagic tendencies, all suppurations, functional disturbances, nutritional disturbances, all of the acute disease manifestations. All these conditions Hahnemann traced to this source and classified under the head of psora. So you can see the thinking. You can understand that Hahnemann is really just creating a category of a type of acute condition that are showing itself on the skin or what I just elaborated on, these different parts of the body as to tumors or swellings or bony structures and things like that. It is characteristic of the skin in these conditions that there is considerable itching, for psoriatic conditions always itch. In fact, not only was psoriasis considered the mother of all diseases, but it might well have been considered as the source of almost all subjective symptoms, especially those described by the patient. Sensation as if. In classifying those constitutional diseases, which have not run a course through so many centuries, that is, the venereal classifications, it has been noted that there action has been swifter and, while at times, more destructive. The subjective symptoms have been present in the degree in which psora has been present in the system. Now, I'm commenting on what Roberts has said here because he is indicating that the psora, the skin conditions, have considerable itching. And when the rabbi last night told me the Sorat, T-S, is spelled differently. The Sorat has no itching whatsoever. So it's completely different. It has color changes. It has darkenings and lightenings, and it is only deciphered and determined by the priest what it is that is going on for that individual. So that's a dynamic relationship between a highly spiritual individual and the person in the community, whether they are a remain pure and stay within the community or be taken away out of the community because they have perhaps sinned in some way or they're not clean enough to be in the community. So they are sent out of the bounds to reflect and come to terms with what is called not speak about another. It's called Lashon Hara. So this is really what it is in the Hebraic, but in the way that has been utilized by Hahnemann is that we're seeing the skin eruption. Itch is a very important component. And the last sentence, or the last paragraph in the reading from Robert, says, although fundamental miasms have their period of remission, latent states lasting perhaps for years without showing any manifestations, some sudden crisis in the history of the individual may rouse them to sudden eruption, and the patient will be severely disturbed in health. These crises may be in the form of accidents, exposure, some slight infection, indiscretions of diet or hygiene, some apparent thing out of all proportion to the serious consequences. And in this class comes the pneumonias that follow accidents and exposures, infections from slight wounds. Almost all of those grave states roused by a seemingly slight cause. So here we have, referring back to what Hahnemann himself had stated in aphorism number 73, that he said these latent spontaneously returns to its dormant acute disease were not of too violent a character and were soon quelled. So here, Roberts is saying the exact same thing. He is saying that if, let's say, you have a splinter and normally it comes out and the skin heals up and everything is fine. But what happens if you get this splinter? It becomes truly infected, and it could even go to sepsis. There you have a response from the vital force, from your energy state, that is causing a very great reaction to something that is really slow. And that is what he's talking about there. And very, let's say you have a cold or a cough, and it goes, and it's not so bad. Everybody else has got the same type of a cough and cold, but they recover. However, somebody else, it goes deeply into the being, and it becomes pneumonia. Then it's a very much more dangerous to the life and health of the individual. And the last sentence in Roberts, he says, here the homeopathic physician, by taking into consideration the soric background, will bring into play the remedies that are related in their symptomatology to their soric states. And he will be able to do most effective work. And if you would like to read further about Roberts, this is 22 in his book, and it is online, free reading on www.homeoint.org. And we will put the link up there for anyone who would like to read it. That is really what aphorism number 73 brings into my mind. It's all about the exciting cause not being something that is just external to the human being, but that there is intensity to being more deeply ill. The way that the individual responds could be related to this particular miasm called sora. And I thought maybe I would read a little bit from the five books of Moses commentary, where it talks about Surat. I thought this is kind of a deviation from strictly the Organon and Hahnemannian practice of homeopathy. But I like to learn more, and I thought I would see what it says. In the five books that Moses, in Deuteronomy 24:9, it says, remember what God did to you on the way when you left Egypt. And here it's saying to remember that she's something that when we talk about other people, when we say negative things about other people, it affects our own spirit. It affects the person who we're talking to. The person who we're talking about. It affects three individuals, and this is why it's important to be as forthright and honest and talk to an individual face-to-face about any problems that you have to repair relationships. And this is a major, something that is not proper behavior. And so there is a commentary I was reading that there, these laws of, it's called Sarat, very, very complicated and intricate laws of how to speak, how to act in a spiritual way. And so Sarat was not simply, it was not a physical ailment. It was a spiritual disease that afflicted people as a consequence of having spoken badly about another person. And I'll repeat that in Hebrew. That is called Lashon Hara. In the verse that I just read about, remember what God did to Miriam on the way when you left Egypt, it says that the people were commanded to remember that Miriam was immediately afflicted with this, and here was the word in the Bible, Sarat, and she was forced to leave the camp for 7 days. So seven we know is a very important number, 7 days in the week, and all different things. It's a cleansing period. And even though Hahnemann or Roberts refers this to leprosy, you know, the skin disease, and then you're banished, you're sent out because you're dirty. This is not the same thing. It's a different kind of connotation and understanding of the word. And this was, she was forced to leave after having spoken Lashon Hara about her brother Moses. But the commentary says, doesn't this seem contradictory to warn us not to speak about the shortcomings of others by reminding us of Miriam's sin? And he says the answer is that she did not sin. Her intentions in speaking about Moses were completely innocent. She meant no harm to her brother, or did she cause him any harm? Despite this, she was stricken with Sarat. Her disease was not a punishment, but rather the inevitable. It's a natural result of Lashon Hara, speaking badly about another person. The command, it was a command to remember Miriam. She does not denigrate her, for this command does not denigrate her, for she committed no intentional sin. But we do learn from the act of remembrance the devastating effects of Lashon Hara, even when spoken unintent. So sometimes we do say things and we don't really mean it to harm another person. We don't say it intentionally, but we need to remember and think about it. Just as it makes no difference if one swallows a poison intentionally or unintentionally, so too, speaking badly of others devastates us, even when spoken without deliberate malice. And so this author, and I'm going to have to look up who it was that I got this information. He says, let's take this opportunity to think before we speak and ensure that all of our words are words of peace. And so I might end with salam and shalom and peace be with you for today. Our time is up. It goes so fast. So remember to take your Organon off the shelf and read it.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.